Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, like many other churches in our country, in fact, churches around the world, we're observing the beginning of the Reformation that resulted in the formation of what we call the Lutheran Church. You know, in a lot of ways, this is ironic and strange. Ironic because it was never Martin Luther's intent to start a new church body. His desire was to have a spirited and civil conversation about theological issues that his Roman Catholic Church was facing. And in point of fact, Martin Luther never left the Roman Catholic Church. He was excommunicated and declared an outlaw because he wouldn't deny scriptural truths which the church authorities weren't willing to consider or discuss. And Luther never intended to have a church denomination named after him. In fact, he didn't want the church split at all. And in Germany, you actually won't find any Lutheran churches. The official name of the churches in Germany are the teachers that follow the teachings of the Reformation is the, and I'm going to destroy this because I don't speak German, but it's Evangelische Kirche, or as we would say in English, the Evangelical Church. So it's rather ironic that we make such a big deal of this Martin Luther guy, who on more than one occasion referred to himself as simply a poor maggot sack. Luther was colorful. But it's also rather strange that we hold Martin Luther up to the point of giving his work its own Sunday. Because to my knowledge, there aren't any other denominations who do this. I don't believe the Methodists have set aside a Wesleyan Sunday. And I don't believe the Presbyterians have set aside a Calvinist Sunday. Now, the Roman Catholic Church, they do set aside a day for the Apostle Peter, who they believe was the first pope, but the Roman Catholics set aside many days for different saints, both major and minor, and as we Lutherans do as well, even though we don't make a big deal about it like we should. But I'm digressing. I better get back to the topic. Now, on Reformation Sunday, I typically spend some time dealing with some of the major teachings that flow out of the Reformation. And I'm going to do that, but I want to begin with a little-known Luther quote. Martin Luther lived for 63 years. And shortly before he died, even though he was already ill, Luther had traveled to his own hometown, in the town in which he was born, to settle a church matter. A month later, he lay dying, surrounded by his friends who had stood by him over the years. Now, Luther had written much on the matter of death and dying. And now, the question was, would he reflect the peace of God which he so much preached about and remain calm and fearless in the face of death? Or would the devil come to torment the old doctor and cause him to doubt the gospel that he had defended so faithfully? And that question was answered with his last words as he offered himself to God, speaking the words of Psalm 31, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Today I want us to think a bit about something else Luther said, or actually that he wrote. And you could say that this actually led to his greatest Reformation breakthrough. It's probably not what most people think of regarding the Reformation, that those things which our banners actually show for us today, the sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura. No, the phrase I'm referring to that was so significant for Luther, and which was the very heart of most of his writings, was something that was found on a scrap of paper in his pocket 2 days prior to his death. That statement ended with the words, "We are beggars, This is true. We are beggars. This is true. That statement speaks volumes. And it's extremely important for you and me today. You see, when you know you're a beggar before God, you know there's absolutely nothing that you can do for Him. You can't climb up to Him through meditation or contemplation. You can't be righteous through your own good works or prayer or self-denial. You can't earn God's favor or His love by going above and beyond the call of Christian duty. If you know you're a beggar, you know you have really nothing to offer to God to make up for or cover your sins because, well, if you're a beggar, you just don't have anything. As beggars, we're like that person on the road with a hat or a sign looking for help. Or to put it in the words of the Bible, calling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now I imagine that the reaction of us today is much the same as it was in Luther's day and as it was in Jesus' day. We see people with a sign or people with a hat and we just pass by. Some pretend not to see. Some simply don't care. Some are skeptical, wondering if these people truly have a need. Some are simply too busy to help. Some are late and in too much of a rush. But here's the good news today. For us who are beggars before God, we know we have one who stops. It's the Son of David. The Good Samaritan. The Good Shepherd, the Son of God Himself, the promised Messiah. And He doesn't just throw a coin or two into our cups. He pours into our hearts His forgiveness and life and salvation. And He takes us off the street and puts us in His mansion. He feeds us, dresses us, cleans us, binds us up. He does everything for us beggars. Everything that we need. And once He does that, that doesn't mean we're no longer beggars. See, this side of heaven, and even in heaven to a certain degree, we remain beggars before God. Everything we have is His, comes from Him, given to us. So how silly if we're to then go out and start bragging, "I did this," or "I earned that," or "I built those." No, we are beggars. This is true. We can only receive from our God and Savior everything we need, both for life and for salvation. And that's why our salvation is sola gratia, by grace alone. Our Lord helps beggars. There's a saying I think we've all heard. God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? Do you know who wrote that? Who wrote Poor Richard's Almanac? Is that Ben Franklin? Yeah, that's where that comes from. You know, I can't think of a more unbiblical or untrue saying. God helps us not because we deserve it, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. God helps those who can't help themselves. As beggars, everything we have is pure gift, completely undeserved grace. Sola gratia. And that's also why our faith or our salvation is sola fide, by faith alone. All we can do is receive God's gift, His gift also of faith. Imagine that a beggar on the street brags about the cup that he has. how big it is, how strong it is, how marvelous and magnificent his cup is. And if someone asks him, how'd you get that stuff that's in your cup? He says, well, I have a great cup. That's kind of foolish. See, it isn't because of a great cup. It's because you have a great Lord, a great and merciful Savior. He gives you that cup that holds that faith, your faith. He gives us the cup and he fills it. It's all him. It's all by grace through faith. Sola fide. And that's also why it's sola scriptura. By scripture alone. See, our cup, our faith, is given and formed by the Word of God. The Word of God which reveals our Savior. The Word of God which reveals our sin and our need for that Savior, where we learn of His great mercy for us. It's the Word of God where we learn of the forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross by His perfect life, death, and resurrection. And it's the Word of God, His promises, that are joined with water and bread and wine, making them means, making them vehicles of His grace, bringing them to us personally, turning plain water into holy baptism, turning plain bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus in His supper. Without the Word, we wouldn't know our Savior. We wouldn't know of these gifts by which He gives and strengthens our faith. Only the Word, sola scriptura. And putting all of this together, we have sola Christi, by Christ alone. And that's not really so much a fourth sola as it is the overarching one. For it is Christ alone that creates and fills the other three. It's Christ, the Word made flesh, who is the real power behind it all. We are beggars. This is true. And He is the friend, the helper of beggars. He is the Savior of beggars. And that is absolutely true. Everything we are, everything we have, is Christ alone. From creation to redemption to everlasting life, it's all Jesus. Sola Christi. We are beggars. This is true, no matter who you are, no matter how accomplished, no matter how wealthy. All people, as the reading from Revelation this morning reminds us, every nation and tribe, and language, and people need the eternal gospel. The gospel which is the power of God to bring us salvation. Everyone needs this gospel because everyone is lost without it. We're beggars. This is true, and that's what Paul was explaining in Romans. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. The law of God shows us how beggarly and miserable we are. The law says, be this, but we aren't. And the law says, do that, but we don't. The law says, don't do this, and that's what we do. So what does that leave us to boast about? Nothing, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, the law shuts us up. The law holds us accountable. The law shows us the debt that we could never begin to pay. We are beggars, this is true, and we are still running up the debt. But Paul goes on. While we are beggars, we are forgiven. And praise the Lord, that's true. Paul says, and all are justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's through Jesus, through His redemption that He won for us on the cross. Through Jesus who paid our debt, through Jesus who died our death, through Jesus who is risen from the dead and gives us his righteousness, his perfection, who fills our beggarly cups with the riches of his grace. And did you catch the three solas there in those words from Paul? The law and the prophets bear witness to the righteousness of God. Sola scriptura. We are justified by his grace as a gift. Sola gratia. All by Christ Jesus, they are to be received by faith. Sola fide. And all because of Jesus, who is all in all. Sola Christi. And here's the wonder of wonders. We beggars really can boast, after all. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. See, we're beggars, this is true, but we are also his saints. This is true. We're actually going to hear a little bit about that next Sunday. But we also heard this from Jesus in our gospel. But he didn't say we're beggars. He uses some stronger words. He says, we are slaves. Slaves to sin. Slaves in bondage. Slaves can't do what they want, only what their master demands. And the sin in us is our master. The sin that we are born with. The sin that keeps erupting out of us in hurtful words and selfish deeds, shameful thoughts and impure desires. This is a slavery that's dangerous and deceitful because it masks itself as freedom. You think that you can do whatever you want, but what you want is really what your slavery wants. What your slavery tells you to do. But what you want is from your selfish flesh. And boy, do we feed that sinful flesh. We're willing to give up paradise for a tasty bite. But that quickly turns bitter. We are beggars. But then Jesus gives us the solution to our slavery. A solution that is sola Christi. While we are beggars, Jesus says, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Son, who is the hope for beggars, friend of beggars, freedom for beggars. The Son who is the Savior for us beggars. Luther wrote about that in a hymn that we're going to sing in just a few minutes. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be? The Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son, adored. He holds the field, victorious. Sola Christi for beggars. Because there's freedom in no one else. But there is freedom in him. There is no other way for us beggars to have hope. But there is hope in him. You know, if you remember only one saying of Luther's on this Reformation Day, remember this one. We are beggars. This is true. And then stick out your cup of faith for Jesus to fill it. To fill you with his forgiveness, with his mercy, with his love. To fill you with his Spirit. Because you know what? This is what he loves to do. Do that and you will know the truth. That where Jesus is, it's really good to be a beggar. Amen.